Nice to meet you, Jeff.
Good to have you with us.
So good to have Bob with us.
Good to have you, Bob, Stephanie.
Y'all came early.
That's great. All right. Candace has got a great song for us, I'm sure.
How are you?
He's not here to entertain this morning, but this is a time we can give the Lord to worship him. In return to us, it does something to us in return to worship him.
Amen.
Lord, you are our refuge. You are our strength. As we come today, we lift up our hands in praise and surrender. And Lord, we love you as we welcome you into this place.
Oh, yes, Lord.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
The King of glory, let it be.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory. Praise you, Father.
Let's just stand and let the King of glory.
You are my strong tower. You are my
Year. Amen. They celebrate their New Year. And we had a bunch of Chinese folks over last night. They cooked all kinds of wonderful Chinese food, authentic. Not Chinese American, but authentic Chinese food. And it was worthy of a 5-star restaurant.
Wow.
And we are working with these folks, and they are moving toward God. Some of them are Christians, some of them are already Christians. And others are very interested in this religion.
Yeah. It's good.
That's the truth.
Yeah. How does this differ from what they've heard, you know? And they're very interested. So just a praise report and a prayer request. Y'all pray for us as we work with these Chinese folks, because some of them will be going back very soon to China. And so we want to be sure that they've got a good introduction, if you will, into the ways of God.
Yeah.
So y'all continue to pray for that. This is a wonderful opportunity. These folks are over here. We didn't have to go over there. They speak our language. We don't have to learn how to speak their language. And they're asking the questions.
Wow, that is awesome.
We don't have to go beat them over the head with the gospel. We just have to be faithful and try to answer their questions as best we can. Believe me, that's tough. Because you don't know how much they're understanding of what you're telling them. You know? I made a whole list of terms that I can't use because they don't know what they mean. Try to explain to someone who's just learning English what sanctification, expiation, propitiation is.
Yeah.
I have a hard time explaining those to Americans. Yeah. You know? So anyway, just call me in prayer about that, okay?
Yeah.
It's really a wonderful opportunity. And yeah, go ahead.
Also,
please.
For
your
communication with
us
already over there.
Yes.
Because the government
is having a crackdown on churches and Christians over in China. We don't know the ins and outs, we don't know the details, but one of the things I wanted to do was to come up with a way of sending messages over there that wouldn't be flagged by their software, by the government software. Okay, now, the government over there is well, they kind of control the internet over there. And I'm sure, just like our government, you know, they can probably sit on every email that comes through, you know. And so they do have access over there to all the emails that come and go to their people. And so they can very easily, and I'm a you know, computer guy, so I know that they can do this. They can write a program that will, you know, as it searches through all the emails, it'll find keywords. All right? It'll look for keywords. So it might look for the word Jesus, you see. It might look for the word Christ. It might look for these key words. They could set in any kind of keywords they want. So I'm having to, when I send things over to my friend, I don't want to get him in trouble.
Right.
You see. So I want to not have certain terms in there. I'm not going to use the word God. I'm not going to use the word Jesus. I'm not going to use the word Christ. What am I going to use? You see. Well, luckily, there's a lot of other things that communicate the same thing. You know, God just doesn't have one name. God has a lot of names. Jesus doesn't have just one name. There's an old sheet of paper, names of Jesus. And so I can use Father, the Son, you know, and just so many other names, the bread of life, the good shepherd. I mean, way, the truth, the life. You know, you just go on down the list of just things that you can use instead of the word Jesus. Yeah. My favorite word is rescuer.
Yeah.
Because that's what Jesus means. He's our rescuer. Yeah. You know, we don't use the word, I mean, I don't use the word savior, I use rescuer. Because that really means what?
It'll go right through it.
Yeah, it'll go right through there, you know. So y'all be in prayer about that, because it's important that we reach out to people and make disciples for Jesus Christ. They need freedom. They need freedom. And we don't really sometimes realize how much freedom we have. You know, we're talking about how much peace we have.
Man.
Brother Thurston was talking about, he has a party going on inside himself when he's dealing with people outside, you know, that are giving him a hard time or whatever, you know. He's got a party going on, and he can deal with it pretty easily, right, because of that party. But these people don't have that party.
No, they don't.
And when things are going on outside them, they struggle. It's a very tough struggle for them. And these are not, quote, bad people. They haven't gone out and killed anybody. They're working very hard, studying very hard, getting their PhD and all that sort of thing. But they don't know how to handle some of this stuff. You know, they don't have that party going on inside. They don't have that peace and contentment inside that the Holy Spirit gives them. And so that's what draws them to Christianity. They'll tell you, you know, I'm looking for some peace. I got a lot of turmoil. I'm looking for some peace. And so, you know, be in prayer for them, because I want to show them the peace. We bring them to our house, and they realize there's peace in that house. When they come in, there's no turmoil. There's peace, you know. And they like that. They like that. And so I want them to leave here knowing in the United States there's people that have peace in their house and not turmoil, you know. And so anyway, we have a good time. We just have a good time. There's a couple of the girls there, young women. they're so short, but I think it was a girl. But they're Christians. One of them's a brand new Christian. Hadn't been a Christian for like a year. And the other one's, you know, all her life, her parents or grandparents were Christians over in China. So it's just it's a very interesting mix of everything over there. But anyway, we have an opportunity, and pray we don't drop the ball sort of thing. So anyway, well, let's look. We were looking at the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. Okay? What covenant do we live under? We live under the New Covenant, right? The new covenant in Jesus' blood. All right? In Jesus' blood. And so when we take communion,
Thurston, usually, not this time, but usually he says, he quotes from Jesus what he said that night of Passover. He said, this is the blood, right, of the new covenant. It's my blood. They didn't quite understand it at that time, but we do understand it now. This is the blood of the new covenant. He says, take and eat this. Take and drink this. As often as you do, remember me, what I've done. So we wanted to look at, I want to look at with you a passage in Hebrews. Okay? Now, Hebrews, one of those books that it's written for the Jews. So it's a little bit hard to really get into, all right? And this is not a particularly easy part to get into, but I felt like we really need to get into this, okay? We're not going to have time to go all the way through it, so I may have to just like stop in the middle and pick it up next time. But let's turn to Hebrews 9, if you will, and we'll read through as many scriptures, as many verses that we can get, all right? And then I'll bring it all together when we get at the end of a section, sort of thing. So in verse 1, and I'll be reading from the King James. Then, verily, the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. That is an earthly place of holiness. An earthly place of holiness. All right? He says, for there was a tabernacle made, the tent, the first, wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. Okay, so he's talking about the implements that are inside the tent. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all. All right? It has the golden censer and the Ark of the Covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. Okay? Now remember, it talks about the second veil, or the drapes, if you will, okay? What is he talking about now? He's talking about going into the Holy of Holies. He's talking about what's inside the Holy of Holies. So he's talking about there's a golden censer, the Ark of the Covenant is in there, and he talks about what's in the Ark of the Covenant. He says, on top of it, okay, over it, the cherubims of glory, the angels, okay, with their wings spread, shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now, when these things were thus ordained, okay, when they were anointed and they were dedicated to service and everything, the priests went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. In other words, the very first part outside the Holy of Holies. They could go in to the holy place, but not the Holy of Holies, all right? They go in the holy place and they do their service, all right? They light their lamps and do the showbread and all that kind of stuff. Verse 7, but into the second place, the Holy of Holies, went the high priest alone, once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. Okay, so when he goes into the second, the Holy of Holies, he only goes in once a year. All right, we remember that Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist, you remember he got a word from the angel when he was in the Holy of Holies. They went in there once a year, and so it was his service. He went into the Holy of Holies, and the angel came and talked to him there. Okay, so that's what was going on in the New Testament with Zacharias. In verse 8, the Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all, the Holy of Holies, was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing. In other words, how do other people get into the Holy of Holies? Well, they don't. You see, nobody could go into the Holy of Holies except once a year, and it had to be the high priest, one designated to go in, okay? Only that time could someone go into the Holy of Holies. So it wasn't open to everyone to come into the what? Presence of God, because that's what the Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat, signified, all right? So the first tabernacle, verse 9, the first one was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience. Okay? In other words, he could go in and he could offer a sacrifice. He could sprinkle the blood around. but it didn't, it wasn't complete. It wasn't complete. It would do some, but he had to come back the next year. You see, somebody had to come back the next year. It wasn't complete. All right, it wasn't perfect, what he's talking about here. Verse 10, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of Reformation. Okay, so this is all the stuff that they did. Okay, it was there until the time of Reformation. What time is that? Verse 11, but Christ being come. That time. A high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. It's not physical. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, which is they would come in and sprinkle, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. He says Christ went into this place. Okay? He didn't bring the blood of goats and bulls, but he brought his own blood. All right? Now, is he talking about the earthly tabernacle?
No.
No, he's not talking about going into the earthly tabernacle. What tabernacle is he talking about? What is the other holy place? What is the other holy of holies? Ah, yes. That's going to be where we're going to have to stop. The time's out. I told you we'd have to stop in the middle, but that's okay. We will pick it back up here, all right, next time. But just remember, what Jesus did for us, he didn't do on earth. It wasn't an earthly thing. It was a spiritual thing. It was a heavenly thing. Okay? And that made all the difference. And we will find out that that is a continuing sacrifice. You don't have to go, he doesn't have to do it every year.
Right?
Right? It's a continuing sacrifice. We can walk in victory.
Yes.
Because of that. We don't have to offer the blood of goats there when we go into church. We don't have to do that, do we? What is our sacrifice? We present our bodies as a living sacrifice unto God, holy and acceptable and perfect for him. It is complete. Amen. Father, we thank you so much. We thank you for the food. We thank you for those who got it for us. We ask you to be with us today. Bring out joy, the joy that is in us. Bring it out to others. And may we love others, Father. May we reach out to others, meet their needs. Surprise them with love. Surprise them with your love, Father. We thank you for that. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. God bless you. I won't be here next Sunday. Yes, I will be here. I'll be here until 9:30 next Sunday. I'll be able to open the door and things like that. But, let me take something.